Your tenure then through 74 is at Creighton, and then your name coach at Arkansas.
That was a strange deal, too. Bill Connors was a dear friend. He was a good friend of Frank Royal, so he tried to tell Frank you ought to hire. Well, Mr. Roberts was trying to hire me. And Duke, I was one of three people that they interviewed. Carl James was the athletic director at Duke. Carl James later became the commissioner of the Big Eight Conference in later years. Carl James came out to watch our team play Kansas in the NCAA tournament. There were three of us that went back to be interviewed. Bob Boyd was at Southern Cal. He interviewed first. Patch and I went back there. Frank, by that point, was really after me. He was calling me every day, and I told him, well, I've committed to go back and visit Duke. The other person was coaching at Utah and was playing the NIT tournament, and so he wasn't going to be able to interview for like a week after when I was there. Patch and I went back there and interviewed. Duke has changed their academic standards for athletics a little bit different now than it was then, but I call them wild cards. They didn't give any break. This is what Carl told me, that they didn't give any break on academics. Basketball players had to have the same grades as incoming freshmen, just as regular students. Well, that's quite high. And I said, how do they compete with the state schools like Maryland and Clemson and schools like that? I said, because their academic standards are not as high. And I said, you're recruiting the same players. And he said, well, we just have to be selective. So that concerned me a little bit. Well, anyway, Frank was after me. So finally, we came back and visited Fayetteville again, and he convinced me to be the coach. Knowing Frank, you know how persuasive he is. And one of the neat things that I'd always thought about Arkansas, they had had some success there, but they'd really fallen on hard times because they only won 33 games the four previous years before I got there. So they hadn't won very many ball games. And I'll never forget Bob Knight and Dean Smith. We were all on the basketball board together, telling me, don't go to Arkansas. That's a losing place. He said, you can't win there. You go back to Creighton for a year and said, you'll get a job in the ACC or the Big Ten, and we'll help you. Well, anyway, I made that decision. They thought I'd lost my mind when I took the job. The other thing that I thought, my great-grandfather, I have these wonderful letters. He was a colonel in the Union Forces and was stationed in Fayetteville, Arkansas during the Civil War. They lived up in the central part of Arkansas. And I've got these wonderful letters that he wrote my great-grandmother and told about the horrors of war. And there were some small battles there in northwest Arkansas, the Battle of Pea Ridge. So I thought, well, maybe this is my calling. So I went to Arkansas, but after getting there in those early days and looking at the facilities and everything, I thought, gosh, boy, maybe I made a mistake. But, boy, what a great time we had in building that program up.
Well, you were there from 74 to 85. I mean, you rejuvenated the basketball program before you came to the campus. All the talk in Arkansas was about football. Then you broke into the top 10 for the first time.
Right. Yeah, we had two great assistant coaches. Gene Cady, I hired from Hutchinson Junior College. He was with me for 4 years there, and he later became a great coach at Purdue. And Pat Foster. Then we were also able to get some wonderful players, and we hit pay dirt when we got Sidney Moncrief, Marvin Delph, and Ron Brewer, who Al McGuire called the triplets. We went to the Final Four in 78 with that ball club. Boy, we were off and running when we had them. And I guess out of the 11 years I was there, we were in the NCAA, I think, either 8 or 9 years.
I think in 77 you owned the nation's longest winning streak, 18 consecutive wins. For the season in 77, your record was 25-1.
We ended up being 25-2 because we got beat in the NCAA tournament. I don't remember who beat us during the regular season, but then we lost to Wake Forest in the NCAA tournament down in Norman. I think 25-2 was our record.
Well, it still is a good record in 77 for the season.
And the next year we went 32-4 when we went to the Final Four.
In 78.
We had the whole team back that next year. We should have gone a long ways in 77. We had Wake Forest down, I think, 17. We got in foul trouble, and two of our guys fouled out, and they ended up beating us 1 or 2 points. But I think the biggest thing, we knew how good we were the following year and went to the Final Four.
We could point out in 77 you were named Coach of the Year there at Arkansas.
And the next year I was National Coach of the Year.
Then in 79, Arkansas was in the Elite Eight, Arkansas against Indiana State, and yes, a name that everybody knows.
Well, Larry Bird was a great player and certainly one of the great players of that time and certainly one of the great players in all-time college basketball, but then also one of the great pro players. In 79, we'd lost two of the triplets, Delf and Brewer, but we still had Sidney Moncrief, and we had some outstanding freshmen, U.S. Reed and Scott Hastings. Somehow, we ended up getting back to the Elite Eight game in Cincinnati, and the winner of the game between the Razorbacks and Indiana State, Sycamores, would go to the Final Four in Salt Lake City. It was one of the great games I've ever coached in. Both teams played flawless basketball. It was just a wonderful game. Both teams played with great competitive spirit. And you had Moncrief and Bird, two first-team All-Americans, going head-to-head. Well, it came down, we had the ball with 30 seconds to go, and the game was tied. U.S. Reed was a freshman who later became an outstanding player for us at Arkansas, and he got tripped in the mid-court area. It should have been a foul, but they didn't call anything. He went to his knees, and then he got back on his feet, and they call walking, which is a proper call. If you go to the floor and you get back up with the ball in your hands, it's walking. Well, now they have the ball with about 20 seconds to go. Everybody knew they were going to give the ball to Bird and isolate the area, and Moncrief covered him and just had him where he drove the ball to the elbow of the lane there, right there, just free throw line extended, and he couldn't get his shot off. Moncrief just had him blanketed. He threw the ball across the lane to one of his players, and Scott Hastings covered him, and the guy went up for his shot, and he's right-handed, and he couldn't get the shot off, and he transferred in midair the ball to his left hand and just threw it. The ball went up and hit the rim and bounced about two or three times and dropped in as the buzzer went off, and we got beat by 2 points. I don't know whether we could have beaten Michigan State in the national championship game, but we would have fared better than Indiana State because we had a lot better quickness. And that was a thing that eventually beat Indiana State against Michigan State, was Michigan State was so much quicker. Michigan State was the best team, and had we got to the finals, they would win in a series. But in basketball, where it's a one-game shot, anything can happen. So it was a disappointment, but it was also a game where I walked out of that arena, and I told the team, guys, all a coach can ever ask of you is to give your very best. That's all I ever ask of my assistant coaches. I said, we prepared as well as you could ever prepare for a ball club. We went out there and played almost a flawless game. I said, we turned the ball over 3 times. We shot over 50% from the field. We shot 70% at the free throw line. Just an outstanding game, played great defense. And yet it wasn't meant to be. They hit a fluky shot and won the game. So I said, when you know deep in your heart you've given your best, whether it's in basketball or when you're getting ready for an examination or whatever it might be, if you know you've done your best, then you can accept that. It's when you don't give your best, and that happens, that you live with a life of regrets.
You had some fun down in Austin, Texas, in their fieldhouse known as the Drum. One game, I understand, that was memorable after the Big 12 was formed. You walked down to the floor. You did something right there in the middle of the floor, and you won the Texas fans over to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I always had great respect for the University of Texas. And, of course, Texas was always the biggest rivalry for the Razorbacks when you're in the Southwest Conference. Arkansas was the only team outside of the state of Texas in the old Southwest Conference. So I always had great respect for them, and it was always a big game for us. But one time I gave them the hook 'em horn sign, and I think that for the most part, most of the fans always respected the Razorbacks and certainly respected the Cowboys when I got to Oklahoma State.
And you won your 700th game in the Drum.
I did. I had a great ball club, and that was a game where the players carried me off the floor. Heard a few boos and everything, but most of the people in Texas, I think, always had respect for Oklahoma State.
But when you were at Arkansas for 11 years, your record was 260 wins and 75 losses.
Well, that sounds right.
And you included 5 Southwest Conference championships, 9 NCAA tournament appearances, and a Final Four appearance in 78.
Yeah, we had a great run there at Arkansas.